This is Speaking of Writers. I'm Steve Richards. The book is Dear Dreammaker. The author, Dr. Ledgy Boone. Dr. Ledgy Boone is a forensic analyst, author, and educator. Ledgy primarily works as an analyst, examining evidence for fingerprints, shoe prints, and tire tracks for comparison and identification. She has spent over 30 years in the forensic science field as a crime scene investigator, volunteer autopsy technician, educator, and analyst. Dr. Boone's main fields of interest are vicarious traumatization. I got that out. That was a mouthful there. Organizational support and civilian relations, implicit bias in crime scene attendance, personal impact of law enforcement suicide, and active dreaming. Having an array of tragedies in her mental slideshow of crime scenes, Ledgy adopted her methods of decompression to include writing songs and crime scene poetry, singing, and journaling graphically detailed dreams. Dr. Boone has collaborated on the publishing of the forensic textbook and virtual component, So You Don't Want to Be a CSI, with two other former CSIs, Kendall Hunt Publishing and Victory XR. She has also co-authored and published Fox Tales, short stories written while puppy sitting. She has multiple poems and song lyrics published in books and magazines. Someday My Prince Will Come is the most recent publication she has produced, functioning as a learning tool and activity book focused on the study of fingerprints. She's also taught as an adjunct professor with Kaiser University in Florida in the crime scene technology program and as contributing faculty with Walden University in the forensic psychology programs. She has also been an invited speaker in many international conferences, including the Global Science Guild, Worldwide Association of Women Forensic Experts, and the Caribbean Association of Forensic Sciences. And she is a senior adjunct faculty member for the Sherlock Institute of Forensic Sciences, India. Happy to have Dr. Ledgy Boone join me now here on Speaking of Writers. Welcome to this program.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a lot of information you just gave out.
Yes, you have done a lot and you do a lot.
Yes, that's me.
So this book.
I stay busy. Yes.
Dear Dreammaker, how did this come about?
I've been journaling my dreams for decades. I have had vivid dreams for years, and I just would wake up, make notes, or write the whole dream out, either dictating it on my iPad or just handwriting it out. So I have multiple notebooks, multiple composition books of dreams, and I still handwrite them because I feel like I write a little easier than I do typing it out initially. But I decided it's past time for me to bring it together in some kind of book format, because there's got to be a reason why I dream this clearly and this vividly. And some of the stories are really detailed and complex situations that I've never been in. Very few times that there are things that I've actually done, and sometimes it's places I've never been. A lot of people I've never seen before, but I try to describe them as best I can, what they're wearing, what they generally look like, or where the places that I've seen in my dreams, just to be as explicit as possible in case I do happen to run into that place or run into that person one day. I just think it's interesting, and I feel like somebody else might be doing something similar out there, trying to figure out what their dreams mean. It's just always been fascinating to me.
Where do you think these dreams come from?
My doctor has said, I've had therapy for some years back, and that therapist says when you get to the verge of, when it comes to sleep apnea, and I've been diagnosed, that I mean, been examined and studied that I don't have a sleep apnea, but apparently I get to the verge of the edge of dying in my sleep, unfortunately, and that she suggested those moments become so clear and vivid. But I was like, that can't be it. Because I might dream 3 or 4 dreams a night, some nights or some mornings. So I'm like, I hope I'm not falling asleep and dying there, you know, 3 or 4 times a night every night. That's kind of a little creepy. But I really don't know what triggers them. I try to figure it out a couple times. Am I eating things strange? Am I not eating the right thing? Do I have a lot on my mind? What could it be? I really can't narrow it down because the dreams are, I don't have the same dream. I don't have reoccurring dreams so far. So I don't know what contributes to them, honestly.
So you have all of these in a journal. You've broken it up by years because this first one ends,
Yes.
what, at 2006, and the next one starts at 2007.
Right.
And your plan is, this is a series, to just keep it
That's
going,
correct.
right?
As long as I'm dreaming and can pull it together to, and hopefully I can generate some readers or encourage other people to maybe explore, interpret their own dreams or help me interpret mine. But some of them are really funny and just odd scenes, and sometimes they'll reflect what I'm doing at that time or what's happening in life around that time. Like when I worked at the zoo, I worked at the Baltimore Zoo years ago. It's now called the Maryland Zoo, but I would have zoo dreams. When I was teaching high school, I'd have a lot of dreams associated with different classrooms. The dreams I have, some of them now are associated with my office and some of the people who work here in the sheriff's office. But I haven't seen too many fingerprint dreams. That's just too much. But it's just interesting. Some of the situations are kind of reflect what I'm generally doing, engaged in. I mean, definitely not everything, because I dreamed yesterday morning about riding a bicycle, and I haven't been on a bicycle in, I won't try to figure that out, but I haven't been on a bike in a very long time. Not riding through a neighborhood anyway, maybe a stationary bike, but
So, all the dreams are written as they came to you, no exaggerating. I know you changed the names of some of the people in them. How much, is there a lot of editing you had to do to get it into the book form?
to me, the name changing was the biggest edit. Most of my writing, I put that disclaimer in there. I do know how to speak. I do know how to write in English, but I kind of wrote as I would speak it, as if I was telling it to my mother or my daughter or a friend. And so it's the editing piece wasn't extremely difficult. The changing the names, I had, when I tried to figure out the name thing, I bought a baby book and a couple of baby books, and I got some suggestions from my mom. She's still pulling out names of some, I can't use the names that she pulled because she's pulling out stuff from the 1900s, and it's just weird. I don't need any more names, mom. But I had over 200 names that I had to change. And so I keep a document of who those people are as they reoccur in different dreams, if they do show up in other dreams. So that was a little bit of a challenge trying to come up with names, but the editing piece wasn't too hard once I figured out who I wanted everybody to be.
There are a lot of psychological aspects to dreams. Talk about some of those.
Oh my
Loaded
God.
with psychological stuff.
I need to be studied is what I'm getting out of that question. As someone who works with forensic psychologists, a future forensic psychology doctorate, yes, there is a lot going on there. Some issues I've connected with my hairstylist as she's reading the book, and she's giving me my therapy session for that time we're together. And she asked me some of these common themes. And there is a psychological value to the dreams where I might be trying to work something out or better understand something that's happening in my life at the time. She had mentioned in this first book that there were a lot of themes associated with books and bookshelves. I do read a lot, but mostly right now it's more crime and violence and things for school to help me understand some of the work that I'm doing with the school. Or I will also read my comic books. I do read manga and different comic book series. But the dreams themselves, the themes that show up, maybe it's related to water or weight and weight loss and general health and socializing with my sorority members or just in general with family or friends. Those things pop up at different times in the books. So it's my hope that it's understandable and it's relatable. And maybe somebody else sees something funny in the situation that were actual, they weren't lived experiences, but they're definitely realistic experiences. Things, a lot of them are. Some of them are a little supernatural. Not paranormal, but just a little on the odd side. So I really don't know where they come from.
Dr. Leggy Brown is Boone is my guest here on Speaking of Writers. Dear Dreammaker is her new book. It's available at writersrepublic.com and also amazon.com. Dr. Boone, dreaming has also inspired art and many other things too. What are some of the other things it has inspired?
I feel like art is the biggest thing. In architecture, sometimes it's fascinating to see some of my own dreams develop. I try to draw different things like jewelry or the shape of different homes or landscaping, those that are coming up from my dreams, so that maybe I could, if I had the artistic ability, I could make it a visible, tangible thing. A lot of my dreams have small drawings of floor plans because of the way a room or a series of rooms are organized. And I think that's part of my crime scene background. I attended crime scenes for about 15 years. So as a crime scene investigator, and part of my job was to create crime scene sketches. So I do a lot of sketching in multiple dreams. I won't put that many in the books because it's hopefully I'm describing the scenes in detail enough that they can be visualized. But there's a few that I do add the drawings to that might make it a little more more easily imagined. So, but to try to answer the question, I really am just excited because the artistic value of these dreams, it could go places, you know, if I could identify someone who can make the things that I imagine, I could be wealthy. That could definitely be a good starter for some of the ideas that pop into my head when I'm sleeping. I wish my wake mind was as creative as my sleeping mind.
A technique you used, I'd never heard of this word before, marginalia. Talk about marginalia when writing this.
One of my coworkers introduced me to that word. He says Edgar Allan Poe was a known marginalian. And that refers to people who like to write in the margins, who like to write through the between the lines or all over the page when they're reading something. They take notes or they doodle or they may highlight and underline and draw a different series. You might see Bibles or other books with a space on the margin where they'll draw different things, something colorful or just something that they're inspired to write based on what's on the page or just because that space is available. I tend to do that with almost everything I have in my hands. I have notepads all over my desk and post-it notes everywhere because I need to write things down as I'm thinking them because my memory is about that long. So, and I've been doing that since I was in my teens. I go to church and I'll take a notebook And I'm looking at, like, how come nobody else is writing this good stuff down? Or I go to a meeting, I'm not going to remember what the person leading the meeting is telling us to do or how to follow through if I don't make a note of it. So I'm going to make notes on just about everything that I have a chance to sit in on. So that just applies to my book writing too. If someone wants to make a note of something that they want to remember, or that it triggers a memory, or they just want to doodle, I like the concept of having that space, or letting them know it's good to go ahead and use that space to be your creative self or doodle if you need to.
And Dr. Boone, what is the main message that you would like readers to take away from this book, Dear Dreammaker?
I think one of the most important things I want to kind of encourage is people to be willing to share a little of their inner selves, so that it makes them more understandable, more relatable. And it's interesting to try to figure out what is meant by the series of events that's playing in our minds. I think psychology has a strong appeal to a lot of people, and the psychology of dreams is fascinating in itself. Trying to decipher meanings from the different components of a dream, whether it's water, a mailbox, a piece of fruit, animal, all those things could have some kind of tie-in, and there's room for interpretation. So if a person has the opportunity to listen and try to figure that out, or has that talent or the resources, all of the dream books or the access to different websites or other resources that kind of explain what different themes and dreams could be, it might be a door opener or mind opener to either accepting something or guiding you towards something. I just want to encourage others to journal, to get those thoughts out of your head, onto paper, onto the computer, or whatever your mode of recording is. And it just sometimes is a type of therapy, a personal therapy moment of just releasing those thoughts, putting them out there in the universe, sharing them with someone else who's willing to listen. I know I wear my mother's ear out. Let me tell you what I dreamed about last night. And here she is. She'll say, oh, Lord, do I need to sit down? You know, because it's going to be a long. And sometimes, yes, sometimes no, but let's see, all you got to do, mom, just listen, because this might be important. It might be a lottery number in this one, you know. it could be anything. And I do dream numbers sometimes, but I've never been successful at playing the lottery with those numbers or in general. So,
but one of these days,
but it
will.
Couldn't hurt them. I'm hopeful.
The book is Dear Dreammaker. The author is Dr. Ledgy Boone. It is available at Amazon.com and WritersRepublic.com. And another one to come in this series as well, starting in 2007. But we'll enjoy this one now. Dr. Boone, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. And this has just been exciting.
Thank you. And this is Speaking of Writers.